WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. The Republican National Committee is meeting later this month to elect a new chairperson and to rethink its platform. Bush's loss has forced Republicans of many ideological stripes to reevaluate the direction of the party and the issues it wants to champion in the coming elections. My guests on Fresh Air represent two different points of view within the party. Ralph Reed is director of the Christian Coalition, which was founded by evangelist Pat Robertson after he lost his bid for the presidency in 1988. The coalition advocates a mix of conservative social and economic policies. They support choice in education, tougher crime laws, a reduced tax burden, and oppose abortion, gay rights, pornography, and sex education in schools. Senator John Chafee is a Republican from Rhode Island and a member of the Republican Majority Coalition. The coalition was formed after the election by moderate Republicans who want to win back party members turned off by the conservative social agenda of the religious right. I asked Senator Chafee why he thinks President Bush lost.
I think, like every situation, there are a variety of factors. I will say I think the Clinton people were superb in portraying the country as being in the most dismal fiscal and economic straits it's ever been in. And you might think we're in the depths of the 1932 Depression to hear that the portrayal that the Clinton people did very successfully. The facts are that we're in a recession, but it wasn't anywhere near as severe as was portrayed, but for every individual affected, obviously it made a difference. But I think that the programs that President Bush had underway and that are now bearing fruit are showing that this country was not as severely depressed as pointed out. So that was clearly the economy was a major factor. There's no getting away from it. I also believe that there were a whole slew of voters across the country who are working. After all, if there's 7.5% unemployment, there's 92.5% employment. And there were a whole group of people across the country that had voted Republican in past years that voted Democratic because they really were put off and distressed and, I suppose, in the extreme case, frightened by what took place as they saw it in Houston. The idea that there were certain family values, which seemed to be a code word for denouncing all pro-choices, for denouncing everything to do with homosexuality, the gays and lesbians, the very words that are sometimes used, Christian Coalition. I don't know where that left anybody who was Jewish, for example. And I just know of many, many, many people who just said, this isn't for us. This isn't our party.
Mr. Reed, let me come back to you. And do you think the Republican convention in Houston turned voters off against Bush and the Republican Party?
No, there's no objective evidence of that. I think what has happened was not what actually transpired in Houston that turned off voters, but a spin that has been put on the Houston convention by the media, suggesting that it was a hate fest, that it was a display of intolerance. And in fact, it was no such thing. My boss, Pat Robertson, spoke at the convention. He didn't speak in prime time. He spoke about 7:20 in the evening. But he didn't talk about homosexuality or abortion, and he didn't gay bash or anything like that, and there was nothing intolerant in his speech. He talked about term limits. He talked about reducing taxes. He talked about family tax relief. He talked about the end of the Cold War, the Berlin Wall coming down, Operation Desert Storm. He had a beautiful discussion of being in the Sudan with Barbara Bush in 1985 and seeing her feeding starving children. It was an uplifting, positive, inclusive message. And the fact of the matter is that if you look at the speakers that spoke at that convention, there were 50 speakers. It included Lynn Martin, who's a pro-choice Republican on the cabinet. Who can forget that moving speech by Mary Fisher, the AIDS victim, encouraging everybody to reach out to people who are victims of AIDS, regardless of their sexual preference. I mean, that was in there. You also had Pete Wilson, a pro-choice moderate governor from California speaking in prime time via satellite, and I could go on and on. There were many. There was a whole diversity of views expressed from the podium, and no one was excluded. In fact, that's what made Houston such a contrast to what we saw in Madison Square Garden when the Democrats had their convention.
Well, Senator Chafee, let me come back to you. And would you agree then with that characterization of the convention? I don't want to spend too much time on the convention because I want to talk about the future and the present, but just to give you a chance to come back.
I think that what you've got to remember in conventions that who looks at them at what time. And clearly the Pat Buchanan speech coming just before the president was a very, very choice time, was one of the most significant time spots in the convention. And I think that, I haven't heard comments on Pat Robertson's speeches, but I think it was the Pat Buchanan speech where in the course of maybe 15 or 16 minutes he mentioned gays three times. Just totally unnecessary, and I think people, that was the type of presentation that was turned off, so different from Ronald Reagan, who I think gave the best single speech at the convention, and that Ronald Reagan doesn't spend his time on things like that. Ronald Reagan has a much more gentle approach to him, and that was one of the keys that where Ronald Reagan was able to hold that coalition together. Clearly, if the Republicans are going to prevail, these are the people that we've got to get back into our tent, the so-called Reagan Democrats, who believe in so many of the things that we believe in a strong defense, believe that their government shouldn't interfere with their lives, believe in lower taxes, believe in individuals making choices, believe in the encouragement of individual initiative. These are the things that we've got to accent. I think it get tangled up with these issues like school prayer or no abortion or trashing of gays and lesbians, as Pat Buchanan did in his speech, just gets the Republican Party nowhere.
The Republican National Committee is meeting this month, late this month, to elect a new chairman or chairwoman. What issues are on the table, you think, for the Republican Party? And I'll put that to you, Mr. Reed.
You mean in terms of the future of the...
Yes. Yes.
I think that the Republican Party needs to get back to the central and fundamental rationale for conservative governance, and that is jobs creation and economic growth. What happened here was the Reagan coalition was a three-legged stool. It was foreign policy conservatives who were concerned about a strong national defense. It was social conservatives concerned about strengthening the family. And it was economic conservatives concerned about lower taxes and limited government. When the Cold War came to an end and the Berlin Wall came down, those defense and foreign policy issues did not cut in the electorate as they had previously. When the president raised taxes and broke his No New Taxes pledge from 1988, arguably the most central and conspicuous campaign pledge of his 30-year public career, that issue, that breadbasket of issues, was lost to the president. So he really almost had no choice in order to try to put that Reagan coalition together again, but to run on social issues. But at the end of the day, Reagan never did that. We wouldn't recommend doing that. We think those issues are important. We think that they belong as part of a cluster of issues. But they're not the central and fundamental rationale for Republican governance.
Let me ask you something that Pat Robertson said, and Pat Robertson founded the Christian Coalition, and you're the executive director of the Christian Coalition. He said he wants to see the GOP in the hands of pro-family Christians by 1996.
Well, I was at the banquet where he gave those remarks, and that quote is taken out of context. What he said in the next sentence was that he wanted to see a day when both major political parties were inclusive of our agenda and our issues.
But what are those issues? What is the agenda?
Well, the agenda is reducing the tax burden on the family. We see a situation, for example, where the tax burden on the family has gone up 2,000% since 1950. We'd like to see a day when parents could choose the school that their children attend. We'd like to see schools that work, streets that are safe. This is really the agenda. And, you know, we'd like to see a day, for example, where Bob Casey, the governor of Pennsylvania, is not excluded from speaking at the Democratic convention for no reason other than the fact that he's pro-life.
Where does the Christian Coalition come down on the issue of abortion?
Our position is that we think that an unborn baby has a right to legal protection. We think that we would allow for exceptions in the case of rape and incest and the life's mother being in danger if allowing those exceptions became necessary for the passage of a pro-life bill. We think that it is most likely that those legal changes are going to take place in the context of state legislatures and not in the context of federal legislation, and that's why we're opposed, for example, to the Kill Bill, which is also referred to as the Freedom of Choice Act, which would make it against the law for any state in America to restrict abortion, even for parental consent.
Let me ask you, Senator Chafee, as a member of the Republican Majority Coalition, which was founded in December, calling for a more moderate kind of Republican Party, the coalition calls for economic and fiscal conservatism as the defining principles of the GOP. What do you mean by that?
I think that what the principles of the Republican Party are, individual freedom, economic growth and opportunity, hopefully leading to more and better jobs, lower taxes, strong national defense, reducing the deficit, free trade, which hasn't been talked about. I think that's been one of the clarion calls that both Ronald Reagan and George Bush put out there. The North American Free Trade Agreement, I think, is a magnificent achievement. That's a defining difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. They are the party of protectionism that I believe is just going to caused tremendous harm, not just to this country, but to world peace. The expansion of the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, bringing China into the family of nations. As you know, President Bush felt very strongly that China should be granted ordinary trade relationships that we grant to every country in the world, including Iraq, for example. We believe in keeping government out of our private lives, reaching goals by incentives, not by government decrees. And that, of course, is going to come up in connection with the health care reform that we're going to be undertaking in this calendar year of 1993. So they're very, very different positions between the Republicans and the Democrats. But for the Republicans, if somebody is pro-life and wants to be in the Republican Party, three cheers. But I certainly don't think we want to keep out somebody who's pro-choice. And frankly, I think the matter now has been settled by the Supreme Court as far as the whole right to life or pro-choice arguments go, the abortion arguments go, and I just hope we can move on to other things and put that behind us.
Well,
the decision that was taken up by the Supreme Court pretty well settled it, and I think everybody's just had enough of this.
Well, I'm not quite done with it, so let me just ask you another question about it, though. The Republican Majority Coalition has called for the removal of the Republican Party's anti-abortion plank, which has been part of the platform since 1984. Do you see this, though, as a divisive issue still within the party?
Well, apparently it is. I've seen some statements by Mr. Reid and his group that say this is a sine qua non, absolutely has to be in there. This is the real guts of the Republican Party, and the fact of the matter is that two-thirds of the people in the country are opposed to that position. They are for the Democratic position, and they're certainly not for a very, very strong right-to-life plank, and indeed, to some degree, they're suggesting putting it into the Constitution. I don't believe in that, and if that's what is going to determine where the party's going to go, we're just going to lose an awful lot of people who believe in, as we do, in so many of the other facets that I've ticked off.
Let me reintroduce the both of you. And I'm speaking today on Fresh Air with Ralph Reed, who's the executive director of the Christian Coalition, Senator John Chafee, Republican from Rhode Island, a member of the Republican Majority Coalition. And we're talking about the Republican Party. Members of the Republican National Committee are meeting later this month to elect a new chairperson and also to talk about the direction the party should take after its recent defeat for the presidency. More after a short break. This is Fresh Air. I'm speaking with Ralph Reed, Executive Director of the Christian Coalition, and John Chafee, Senator from the state of Rhode Island, Republican Senator from the state of Rhode Island. Let me ask you then, and I'll come to you, Senator Chafee, who do you want to lure back to the party? Senator Arlen Specter has been quoted as saying that he wants to bring back pro-choice Republican suburban women to the party. Who do you want to bring back?
Well, I want to bring back everybody. Who's out there? I'm not just seeking a 51-49 victory. I want big victories. So I want everybody we can get. And it's clear that the women were very, very put off by particularly what took place in the last election. George Bush had 50% of the women in his race in 1988, 1992. He had 37% of the women. So that's a very, very dramatic drop. Some of it due to the economy, but some of my, I'm convinced, is due to these other issues that were so accented. You know, one of the interesting things is that back to Ronald Reagan, who put together this coalition that was so successful. Ronald Reagan had the same views that many say we ought to make the core of the party. For instance, Ronald Reagan was pro-life. Ronald Reagan did believe in school prayer and things like that. But he did. He managed to have those positions, but not make them sort of a litmus test for being with him. He went on to other things. It was, I noticed in his speech to the convention in Houston, Ronald Reagan never mentioned those issues.
Mr. Reed, who would you like to lure back to the party?
Well, I think the key to victory in 1980, 84, and 88, and the key for that matter to defeat, sadly, for the president, in 1992, were the so-called Reagan Democrats. And those Reagan Democrats consist primarily of two main clusters. One is urban ethnic Catholics in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states, particularly in big-ticket states like Michigan, Illinois, and Pennsylvania. And then the second key demographic cluster of the Reagan Democrats is Southern white Protestants in the South. And primarily evangelical, but also among a lot of the mainline denominations. And those people tended to come over to the Republican Party in the 80s under Reagan, based primarily on two sets of issues. One was the lower taxes issue, less government, lower taxes. And then the second issue was the pro-family, pro-life position of the Republican Party. And Senator Chafee is correct that President Bush did drop way off in his support among women from 88 to 92. But a sinking tide lowers all boats. Among evangelical Christians, for example, the president dropped from 80% to 55%. Among veterans, he dropped from about 70% to about 47%. He lost every category. So I don't think you can take just one demographic slice and say, well, that was the problem.
The Christian Coalition, as I understand it, is focusing more on state and local politics. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what inroads has your organization made in certain communities around the country?
Well, what we're encouraging people to do is to be good citizens, to go out there and exercise their right to vote, to get in contact with their elected officials at every level of government, and if they feel so led and qualified, to go out and file for office and run. It's really about good citizenship. But the point that we are making is that the old strategies that were adopted by the pro-family movement in the early 80s of trying to see an issue's agenda realized through a quadrennial rush at the White House is ultimately a failed strategy. The future for the issues that most Americans and most Christians care about, issues like crime, drugs, education, abortion, these are primarily dealt with at the school board and state legislative level. So that's really where the future is. I also think that this is a community that has been largely marginalized politically for three generations. I mean, as the African-American community moved into political power in the 60s and 70s and women in the 70s and 80s, this is a community that has yet to fully be included. And so I think whenever you're moving in that direction, you've got to start at the apprenticeship level. You've got to be good at being on a school board before you can be qualified to be a congressman. And so this is what we're encouraging people to do, to go out and exercise that civic responsibility and learn how to pull the levers of government and solve problems in their neighborhood and in their local community.
Mr. Reed, would you say the Republican Party is alive and well?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, people forget very quickly that in 1976, after Gerald Ford lost to Jimmy Carter, the political pundits and prognosticators of this country were writing the obituary of the Republican Party. And, of course, as it turned out, it was very premature, because just 4 years later, the Republicans had gained control of the Senate for the first time since 1955 and had working control of the House of Representatives with the boll weevil conservative Democrats. So, you know, the fun thing about this business is it all eventually comes back around, and every victory is transitory and every defeat is transitory, and nothing's forever. So I think the key challenge for the Republican Party is the same challenge that I think faced Winston Churchill during the wilderness years of the 1930s. True, he was a backbencher, but he stood firm for what he believed in. He was willing to stand courageously and continue to articulate the values and the principles that had distinguished his career for 40 years. And then when it came time, when they really needed a leader, in a time of chaos and in a time of need, they turned to Winston Churchill. And I think that is what the Republican Party needs to do. This, by the way, is what the Democratic Party did. If you look at Bill Clinton's stance on the issues, he didn't retreat from civil rights, and he didn't retreat from their pro-abortion philosophy, and he didn't retreat from higher taxes and higher spending. So I think that it's not so much a matter of tinkering with the platform as much as it is being willing to stand up for what you believe in. But I personally think that most of the prognostication right now that would indicate that the Republican Party is flat on its back and is getting ready to go into fratricidal, holy war is just a lot of rubbish. I don't think there's going to be a lot of infighting. I don't think there's going to be nearly as much factional infighting as people are predicting.
Mr. Ralph Reed and Senator John Chafee, thank you for joining us on Fresh Air today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ralph Reed is executive director of the Christian Coalition. Senator John Chafee is a Republican from Rhode Island and a member of the Republican Majority Coalition. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne, and this is Fresh Air.